so glad you've joined us on the ERLC podcast to explore how the Bible addresses important cultural issues pertaining to life, religious liberty, marriage and family, and human dignity, and how we can walk in wisdom for God's glory and for the flourishing of our neighbors. If you're enjoying this podcast and find it helpful, please leave a review wherever you listen. This will help more people find and benefit from what we're learning together. We are grateful for the time you take to join us for these conversations.
Welcome to the ERLC podcast, where our goal is to help you think biblically about today's cultural issues. I'm Lindsay Nicolay, and today we're talking about the importance of your involvement in local and state politics. ...2024 is a big year for politics. If you ask any person you passed on the street why this is the case, their answer would likely be because of the presidential election, one that, sadly, looks like it will be a contentious repeat of 2020. And they wouldn't be wrong. Federal politics are important. Most Americans don't give much thought to political issues beyond the national level. But this causes us to miss out on the good we can affect at the state and local levels through political engagement. While it might not be as glamorous, popular, or as exciting as a national election, getting involved in the states, cities, and communities in which we live is more important than we might think. On today's episode, you'll hear from Tony Beam, who's the Senior Director of Church and Community Engagement for North Greenville University in South Carolina. He represents South Carolina Baptists at the State House in Columbia as Director of the Office of Public Policy. Dr. Beam is also the host of the podcast, Truth in Politics and Culture with Dr. Tony Beam. You'll also hear from Lane Wakefield, who's a clinical assistant professor of marketing at the Hankamer School of Business at Baylor University. He's also a candidate for the school board in his community. In our current political environment, there are many factors that have led some Christians to have an apathetic or negative attitude about political engagement on any level, which is understandable. Based on his experience, here's Tony Beam discussing some of these causes and providing a call for Christians to get involved.
First of all, I think that Christians are concerned about the vitriol and the anger and the tribalism that's being expressed in the current political environment. They see politics as something that is disagreeable to them. They don't see anything in it that makes them want to join in. They don't know the issues extremely well, and that doesn't have anything to do with intelligence or anything like that. What that has to do with is just people being up to date and paying attention to what's going on around them more. But if they don't feel confident about that, then I think it causes them to want to step back and not get politically engaged. Some people have come to the conclusion that the political system is broken to the point that it doesn't matter what we do, it's not going to make a difference. But I'm a big believer in the power of God, in the salt and light aspect of our call as Christians, because it's just a fact that the darkness has no power over the light. The only way the darkness wins is if the light decides not to engage. So as Christians, we really have a call. I believe we have a responsibility as citizens of heaven and citizens of this world. We're ambassadors for Christ, which means we hail from a different country. Our country is heaven, but while we're here, we're supposed to operate by the principles of the country that sent us. And so we operate by the principles of heaven, and we get into the culture, we get into the political system, we engage without letting it get into us. We get into it, and we bring the influence of salt and light rather than letting it cause us to become angry and disengaged.
This year's presidential election comes on the heels of tumultuous events, such as January 6th in our nation's capital, Russia's illegal invasion into Ukraine, and the October 7th attack on Israel by Hamas. So naturally, most people's focus is on the national level, where these issues are being addressed. But elections and politics at the state and local levels are actually just as important, if not more. So why is this the case?
I think it's important because the government that's closest to you is often, in fact, most often, the government that affects you the most. Think about it. I mean, you have state taxes, you have city and county taxes, you have zoning ordinances. In fact, state laws and local city and county laws govern the commerce for the area that you live in. County laws affect what you can do with your own property. And for example, during COVID, we saw what happened when counties and cities made different decisions across the different areas. Sometimes within a state, a county would say, okay, these are the businesses that have to be closed. These have to be open. And if the state didn't take a particular position, then we were governed by city and county ordinances at that point. Local school boards, local school board elections are incredibly important. The education of the next generation depends on the people that sit on those school boards, who help select the curriculum for the school districts, work with the superintendent, and have a tremendous impact. You have state laws that govern healthcare, roads, bridges, infrastructure. State and local governments determine labor market laws. I mean, there's so much that happens. You know, Washington, of course, that's important because it trickles down. But when you get down to state, county, and city government, that's where the laws that are going to affect you most because of the laws that are the closest to you. So you need to understand who are your leaders, and you need to understand what is their political philosophy, where are they coming from, and what are the laws that govern where you live, and how do they affect your life every day? Because I guarantee they do.
Keeping up with what's going on at the national or federal level feels overwhelming enough without adding in awareness at the state and local levels. But there are practical things we can do to be better informed. Here's Tony with real steps we can take, regardless of our knowledge or experience.
I think the first thing everybody should do is immediately find out who your local representatives are. I'm surprised when I talk to people and I say, contact your state representative. And they'll immediately say, well, I don't know who that is. And I'm like, well, okay, this is a good place to start. Every state has a place where you can go, probably put in your zip code and find out who your state representative is, your congressional representative, your state senators. It'll give you a list of the people that represent you. Might be a little bit harder. You'll probably have to go to your city website or county website to find out who your county councilman is or your city councilman. But know who those people are. Once you know who they are, reach out to them. Get to know them. Tell them who you are and find out how they want you to contact them. And then you can stay in touch with them. And then stay in touch with the issues. I think paying attention to newsletters, most county councilmen, city councilmen, and even state reps and senators, they'll send out an email that will tell you what they're tracking and what they're following at the state house. In South Carolina, I put out an email that goes out to people that tells them how legislation that we're tracking is doing in the state house. And then they can respond if they know who their representative or senator is. So local engagement begins with getting to know the people that represent you, and then go to the meetings. I know everybody's calendar is full. You don't have to go to every meeting, but drop in on a county council meeting in your area. Go to a city council meeting. Stop by a school board meeting. And in the end, if you don't like what you see, run for city council, run for county council, run for the state house, run for school board. In fact, since COVID and the school lockdowns, there have been a lot of people that have never been involved in politics before. And all of a sudden, they're concerned about education wherever they happen to be. And so they're getting out and running for school board. And you may say, well, I'm not really qualified to be a public official. Sure you are. If you're a citizen, if you've got concerns, if you are aware of a problem and you want to address it, you've got every right to step into the arena. It doesn't take as much money as people think. I mean, running for a local school board or city council can be a minimal financial investment, but it can be big dividends. If you get elected And as a follower of Jesus Christ, you're able to bring some biblical values with you to the debate. And I think that's really important.
God may be calling some of you, or will call you in the future, to be salt and light by getting involved in local public service. Perhaps you're feeling a tug to run for local office or to begin attending your local county commission meetings so you can become a more informed citizen. Here's Lane Wakefield with the story of how he decided to take a leap of faith and run for the school board in his Texas community.
We're at dinner with my daughter's kindergarten teacher who set out to run for school board. I was a little surprised and shocked that she thought I would be up for something like that, but considered it. I talked to some other people about what school board is and what that even means and the responsibilities of it. And I had one friend that put it well, who said, if you don't know somebody you can trust that has the same values as you to be on the school board, then you should do it. And so after thinking through all of that, I went for it. There's three reasons why I got involved to begin with. So the first reason why is faith. Many candidates steer away from that subject. They don't want to talk about it or explain it, but it's unavoidable because if you don't share what you believe in, I can only assume you believe in yourself and you're the one guiding your decision making. So not telling people that are voting what's guiding or undergirding what you do, that leaves them to guess as to how you're going to make decisions. So voters or just community members are informed about how you make decisions. And if they really understand what Christianity is and what it means, then it's actually a good thing for them. And so if they understand that what my faith means is I'm going to try and treat other people like I would myself, that kids are the most important people around us, those sorts of ideas that are biblical that aren't maybe the face of Christianity when it comes to politics, I think everybody that I've talked to can get behind that. And then number two is I want to be brave, knowing that I want my kids to be brave. And talking about with them is one thing, but having them see their dad go for something and potentially lose and having them watch me through that and you put signs out and knock on doors and do the things that they actually find really fun, they're becoming more brave themselves. So try to be that example for what I want them to be. And then third, I'm curious to know how it all works. Not been a part of it before, but my kids spend so much time up there at the schools. And so I just love to see what goes on, you know, from the school board side of things. So, but the how is real simple. You fill out a form. It took 10 minutes. I think that's worth noting because God only asks us to do one thing at a time. And then when you break up something like running for an office, it can seem kind of scary and kind of big. But really it's fill out an application, order us some signs, knock on the door, kind of put these things and break them all up. And there's something that anybody can do. The Bible gives so many examples of people that are put into leadership roles that weren't ready for it or didn't feel like they had the timing right or didn't have the training to be in that particular role. But God didn't seem to care much about that. He cares about where your heart is at that time. So I think if somebody comes into it with that mindset, then you're already off to a good start.
Getting involved at this level in our communities can seem like an intimidating individual effort. But in reality, for Christians, it's a group effort that starts in our local churches. And pastors play a leading role in helping disciple God's people to be community-minded. Tony, who has experience as a pastor and a leader in his surrounding area, offers encouragement to pastors who want to engage well with their neighbors and help their congregations to do the same.
I think it starts with the pastors the same place it starts with all of us. If you're going to get engaged in your community, you have to know your community. And if you're going to get engaged in your community, you need to know who they are. Find out who the leaders are. Introduce yourself to the mayor. Maybe have an event at your church where you have a lunch or something like that or a breakfast, and you invite community leaders to come in, and there's no strings attached. They just come in to see the church, get to know you, invite your leadership team to come and have a meal with them, and begin to understand what the needs of the community are. And once you understand the needs as a pastor, then you can lean in with some of the other civic leaders and begin to try to make a difference in your community. I'm a member of the Rotary Club, and I've got friends of mine that are in the Lions Club. I think it's a good idea for pastors to get involved in civic groups because through those civic organizations, they find out about needs in the community that are being addressed maybe by the civic groups that the church needs to lean into. And I would encourage pastors to encourage their church members to get involved, to think about running for office. If there's a school board opening, maybe somebody from the church that's got some education experience and would be good to run for the school board. It's by paying attention, knowing the people that are engaged in leadership, having a good relationship with them, and then just asking the question. When I was pastor, I went to the mayor and I said, what can we do as a church to help the town? We want to get engaged and involved. We got involved in volunteer programs. There were different things that the mayor came up with that the church could do to help the community be better. And anytime we can get into a relationship like that with community leadership, it gives us witness opportunities. It gives us the ability to be a witness by the things that we do, the projects that we take on, how we approach it. I think all those things are important. And the final thing I would say is, pastors, don't be afraid to preach and teach about the so-called moral issues, because the moral issues, they may be political issues today, but they were moral issues and biblical issues long before they migrated over into the realm of politics. And so I'm not suggesting that you turn your pulpit into a political soapbox. I'm simply saying that if there are issues in your community that the Bible addresses, find a way to be bold in the way that you preach about those things, but sprinkle your preaching with grace always and come from a platform of loving the community and wanting the community and the state and the area in which you live to be better. And you know that it will be if biblical principles are rightly applied. And that's the church's role. That's the church's job. We're not just to see people come to know Jesus. That is extremely important. Please don't misunderstand. Evangelism has got to be number one. But you know, Jesus said, go make disciples. And disciples are more than converts. Disciples are people who are engaged where they live in making a difference and shaping the culture that they live to make it more resemble what a biblical approach to life would look like. And that's good for human flourishing. My foundational principle in community engagement is salt and light. And I'm just reminded that Jesus didn't call us to be salt and light. He said quite distinctly, you are salt, you are light. So the only question is, will the light shine and will the salt shake? In other words, are you going to put the salt out in the culture and you're going to turn the light on? The way we do that is through cultural engagement, by getting to know our leaders and being engaged and involved in making a difference where God plants us.
In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." What better way can Christians begin to shine our light in our communities than by influencing them with the life-changing truth of God's Word through participating in local and state elections, prayerfully considering running for local office, or finding out how we can serve the community leaders in our area? Consider ways God might be calling you to step out in faith. Know that in whatever way we engage politically, our ultimate desire is that God would bring flourishing and draw those around us to His Son. Thank you for listening to this episode of the ERLC Podcast. Join us next time as we continue our discussion on the importance of local and state political involvement.